Welcome to Hallel Fellowship on the internet at hallel.info. In contrast to worldly leadership, Scripture reveals a model rooted in humility, righteousness, and the fear of Adonai, the Lord. The restoration of Joseph in ancient Egypt and Isaiah's vision of the righteous branch foreshadow Yeshua the Messiah, Jesus the Christ. Both were Spirit-anointed to preserve, restore, and lead with justice. This study explores how godly leaders are marked by wisdom, not ambition, and how Yeshua fulfills these roles. For believers today, it offers prophetic insight into Spirit-led leadership that prepares the way for the coming kingdom.
Leadership in the kingdom of God demands more than charisma or competence. It requires humility, discernment, and Spirit-led wisdom. Today, we look to Scripture to understand how God raises up righteous leaders and what distinguishes them in times of crisis and spiritual decline. In Genesis 41, Pharaoh receives dreams from God warning of coming disaster. Though the dreams fit his religious worldview, he doesn't grasp their full meaning. When the cupbearer recalls a Hebrew slave who had interpreted his dreams years earlier, Pharaoh seeks out Joseph, driven by desperation and humility. Joseph's insight does not come from Egypt's pantheon or the wisdom of Pharaoh's magicians. His answers come from the Spirit of God. Once Joseph explains the meaning of the dreams, Pharaoh recognizes the need for a leader with divine insight to forestall disaster. He appoints Joseph as viceroy over Egypt. Genesis 41 verse 39 says, "So Pharaoh said to Joseph, 'Since God has informed you of all this, there is no one so discerning and wise as you are.'" This Pharaoh is later remembered as the Pharaoh who knew Joseph. In contrast, the Pharaoh of Exodus is remembered as the one who did not know Joseph. Later, in Isaiah 11, God rebukes Israel's shepherds, leaders who scattered the sheep instead of gathering them. Isaiah 56:10 through 11. Just as Pharaoh recognized Joseph's wisdom, godly leaders must also discern what is truly of God and act with integrity and courage. In our scripture readings today, we explore what makes a godly leader. First, actively and diligently pursue righteous justice. Second, restore what is broken, not out of tradition, but through discernment. Finally, recognize when to let go of the past and when to rebuild. In Genesis 41, verse 38 through chapter 42, verse 17, Joseph is a Spirit-filled leader, governing Egypt with divine wisdom. He is elevated to a position of power after years of humiliation, a pattern that mirrors Yeshua's path. Genesis 41, verse 42 says, "Then Pharaoh took off his signet ring from his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and clothed him in garments of fine linen, and put the gold necklace around his neck." Similarly, Yeshua taught with authority, not by quoting others, but by speaking directly from the law, according to Matthew 5, verse 17 and 18. At his baptism, Yeshua is anointed with the Spirit, fulfilling Isaiah's prophecy of the Netzer Tzaddik, which in Hebrew means the righteous branch. Isaiah 11, verse 2 says, "The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the spirit of wisdom and understanding, the spirit of counsel and strength, the spirit of knowledge and the fear of the Lord." Joseph's story foreshadows the Messiah's mission. Both were humbled before exaltation, given authority to save, and raised up by God, not men. Paul reflects on this in Philippians 2 verses 3 through 11, urging aspiring leaders to follow the example of Messiah Yeshua, who humbled himself even to death on a cross. Isaiah 11 begins with a striking image, a stump. The once glorious house of David had fallen into spiritual and political decay, from David to Solomon, to Rehoboam, and beyond. Isaiah 11 verse 1 says, "Then a shoot will spring from the stem of Jesse, and a branch from his roots will bear fruit." God's judgment on Judah wasn't arbitrary. The priests and prophets had neglected their calling. They failed to uphold righteousness and justice. They relied on human reasoning instead of the fear of the Lord. As a result, God initiated a spiritual reboot through exile, cutting off the power to clear the system of corruption. Scripture often describes God's justice using instruments of war, rods, swords, and arrows, not for destruction, but for correction. Job 4 verse 9 says, quote, "By the breath of God they perish, and by the blast of his anger they come to an end," unquote. Isaiah 49 verse 2 says, quote, "He has made my mouth like a sharp sword," unquote. Revelation 1 verse 16 says, quote, "Out of his mouth came a sharp two-edged sword," unquote. These metaphors emphasize that God's word is not passive. It brings clarity, correction, and restoration. The Spirit will rest permanently on the Netzer Tzaddik, a righteous leader who will judge justly, defend the weak, and punish the wicked, according to Isaiah 11 verses 4 and 5. At his baptism, Yeshua received the Spirit, embodying this prophecy. He is not just a prophet, but the prophet. Luke 3:22. In Luke 9 verse 46 through 48, the disciples argue over who is greatest. Yeshua redefines greatness by placing a child before them. Luke 9:48 says, quote, "Whoever receives this child in my name receives me, and whoever receives me receives him who sent me. For the one who is least among all of you, this is the one who is great," unquote. True leadership begins with humility. It requires returning to the basics, especially when we think we've outgrown them. The Psalms and prophets repeatedly emphasize God's concern for the vulnerable. Psalm 82 verse 3 says, quote, "Defend the weak and the fatherless, uphold the cause of the poor and the oppressed," unquote. Jeremiah 22 verse 3 through 5 says, quote, "Do justice and righteousness. Do not oppress the alien, the orphan, or the widow," unquote. There is ongoing debate about whether the Elohim in Psalm 82 refers to divine beings or human judges. The ancient view holds that they are judges entrusted with divine authority. Individuals who must walk in humility, knowing the power they wield is not their own. Spoiler alert, Judah and Israel's leaders failed. They ignored the Torah's commands, withheld justice, and neglected the land's Sabbath. As a result, God rebooted the system, 70 years of exile followed by restoration. Matthew 18 verses 1 through 5 reminds us that entering the kingdom requires childlike humility, in contrast with leaders who exploit the weak. Isaiah 10:1 says, quote, "Woe to those who enact evil statutes and to those who constantly record unjust decisions," unquote. Yeshua fulfilled the prophetic call by welcoming sinners and outcasts, offering hope and restoration. Luke 15:2 says, quote, "Both the Pharisees and the scribes began to grumble, saying, 'This man receives sinners and eats with them,'" unquote. What does this mean for us? We are called to follow the pattern of Joseph and Yeshua, to lead with the Spirit, act with justice, and walk humbly with our God. Here are three strategies. First, seek Spirit-led wisdom. John 16 verse 13 says, quote, "When he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all the truth," unquote. Second, pursue righteous justice. James 1 verse 27 says, quote, "Pure and undefiled religion is this, to visit orphans and widows in their distress," unquote. Third, hope in restoration. Isaiah's vision, fulfilled in Yeshua, invites us to trust in the promise of peace and unity, whether in the Messianic era, the Yom Shekulot Shabbat, or the millennial reign. Romans 15 verse 12, citing Isaiah 11 verse 10, says, quote, "There shall come the root of Jesse, and he who arises to rule over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles hope," unquote. Here's a final thought. A Spirit-led leader is not defined by power, prestige, or public approval, but by their alignment with God's heart. May we learn from Joseph, listen to Isaiah, and follow the example of Yeshua, the righteous branch, who leads with justice, mercy, and truth.